We're going to the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, and the 31st verse. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." So Jesus knew that the devil was after Peter. He wanted to destroy him. What did Jesus do? He says, "But I have prayed for thee." So he prayed for him, "That thy faith fail not, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So Peter thought he could do it. Jesus knew he couldn't. And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." They said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It's enough." And he came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him. And he was at the place. He said unto them, "Pray." What did he tell them to do? "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down. And what did he do? He prayed. And then he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, notice he had an angel strengthening him, but he was still in agony. What did he do when he was in agony? He prayed. In fact, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and do what? Lest ye enter into temptation." In case you haven't figured out, I'm talking to you about prayer tonight. And you can be seated. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." And since Jesus gave us an example, we should follow in his steps. We should do what he did. What did he do? He prayed. He prayed. And Jesus is our example. And we should follow his example. And so what should we do? We should pray. We should pray. And he encouraged his disciples to pray. He taught his disciples to pray. And one of his greatest examples that he is for us is in prayer. He wants us to pray. We need to pray. He gives us reasons why we should pray. He demonstrates when you're going through something, you need to pray. And so when you study the Gospels, they have a different, each Gospel has a different thing that they emphasize about Jesus. Matthew presents Jesus as king. Mark reveals him as a servant. And when you look at the book of Luke, he shows Jesus as the perfect man. And then when John writes about him, he is emphasizing the deity of Jesus Christ. But in the book of Luke, where he's talking and showing Jesus as a man, which he was God in the flesh. He was the man, Christ Jesus. And so as a man, Jesus prayed. And he was an example. We are men. We should pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. And so seven times in the book of Luke, there is an example of Jesus praying. And we're going to look at those seven times that he prays. And the first one that we want to look at here is in the book of Luke, the third chapter in the 21st verse. And the Lord goes there, and it's when he is praying that he gets anointed. We were just singing songs, "I want more of you, Jesus. I want to see more of you, Jesus." And the way you get more of Jesus is through prayer. The way you get the power of the Holy Ghost is through prayer. The way you get anointing is through prayer. So in Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying." It's not enough to get baptized. You need to pray. You need to pray often. You need to pray a lot. You need to pray more. And so being baptized and praying, what happens? The heaven opens. You don't know what can happen when you pray. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in these I am well pleased." And so it was when he was praying that the Holy Spirit came down. It was when he was praying that the anointing of the Spirit rested upon the man, Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. If Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. If Jesus prayed and the anointing and the Holy Ghost came upon him because he prayed, we need to pray. We need to pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's go to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. And in the fourth chapter, in the 17th verse, "And there was delivered unto him," he's in the synagogue, he's teaching, "there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" What was it? It was the anointing that came upon him. The anointing. Why did the anointing come upon him? Because he prayed. He was our example. You want the anointing? You need to pray. That's where the anointing comes from, is when you pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and the 34th verse, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, that word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus could not do his ministry until he was clothed with power from on high. And the reason that he was clothed with power from on high is because he prayed. He prayed. You go to the 24th chapter of Luke and the 49th verse, and it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And so he told them to go back to Jerusalem until, and to tarry until they were endued with power. They were going to be clothed with power. They were going to be clothed with power. And they went and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and the power came upon them. Amen, amen, amen. You and I are utterly unable to launch out into any work until we've been empowered by the Holy Ghost. We can't do anything without the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We have a promise in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." But they had to be clothed with the Holy Ghost. They had to be endued with power from the Holy Ghost. They had to have that moving of the Spirit of God. And a lot of people try to do something for God without being clothed with the power. They try to do it with their own ability. They try to do it with their own efforts. But you cannot accomplish the will of God with your own ability and your own effort. You've got to have the anointing power of God. The Holy Ghost has got to rest upon you. Amen, amen, amen. And how does that anointing come? It comes as an answer to prayer. You need to go and pray until the anointing comes. He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry and pray until the anointing came, until they got that power. And that's where the anointing comes from. Look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You got to pray. You want the anointing of the Holy Ghost? You got to pray. You want the anointing of the Holy Ghost in church? You got to pray. You want the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your worship? You got to pray. That's where the power's at. You got to pray. You got to pray. You go to the first chapter of the book of Acts and verse 13, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." They're praying. And guess what? Even the women are praying. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, is praying. And his brothers are praying. They're all praying, and they continue praying, and they continue praying until the Holy Ghost falls upon them. And we need to follow their example and continue to pray until the Holy Ghost falls. We all need to follow their example. They were with one accord. They were all together praying until the Holy Ghost fell. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, as you know, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they just kept on praying and praying and praying. There's different opinions about how long they were in the upper room after Jesus' rapture until the day of Pentecost. But it's believed they were there at least 10 days. What did they do? They prayed until the Holy Ghost fell. They prayed until the Holy Ghost fell. And so you go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, this is after they were taken before the chief priests and all, and they were being questioned. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the elders and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Christ. For of a truth, against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of that holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen, amen, amen. They prayed until they were shaken. They prayed until the place where they were gathered was shaken. They kept on praying. Amen, amen. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is there. The power of the Holy Ghost is available. But you need to pray to get that power of the Holy Ghost working. You need to pray until that Holy Ghost moves. We need to pray. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a praying people. We need to pray. Amen, amen, amen. Where there's much prayer, there's much power. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to spend much time in the place of prayer. And so you go back to the book of Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 15th verse. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Jesus began to do miracles. Everybody began talking about everything that Jesus was doing. Great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And what does he do? He withdraws himself into the wilderness and prays. He's our example. If he needed to go into the wilderness and get away from everything and pray, we need to go and pray. We need to find that place of prayer. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why? Because Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Amen. You can have, there's no limit to the power that you can have working in your life. It's only limited by how much you pray. Amen. And so Jesus would pray before he ministered to people, before he reached out and began to teach people, he would pray. And what he often did is after he reached out to the people, he would pray. After he ministered to the people, he would pray. He was always praying. And what we just read, he had just touched a leper. And when he touched that leper, it says that the virtue had gone out of him. And everybody began talking about him. And so we see three reasons why Jesus needed to pray after he had done the work of God. He needed to pray, number one, because of his contact with sinful humanity. He was surrounded with sinners, and you're surrounded with sinners, especially during Roundup Week. And so since you're surrounded with sinners, that should motivate you. You should realize, as Jesus did, that you need to pray more because of everything that's going on and everything that's surrounding you. The second thing, virtue had gone out of him, and so he needed to pray. When God uses you and you do something, maybe you're praying somebody through the Holy Ghost or you're teaching a Bible study and the virtue's going out of you, and you need to understand that when that happens, you need to pray. Jesus went and prayed whenever that took place. He went and found that place of prayer and got that anointing restored within his life. And then Jesus began to get popular. He began to be spoken well of, and everybody was interested to him, and thousands of people were following him, and he looked like he was going to be very successful. And so Jesus, when the crowds gathered, he'd go and find a place to pray. He'd go and pray because he realized there was a danger in popularity. There's a danger, there's a snare in popularity. It becomes more important to you, and pleasing the people and impressing the people becomes more important to you than seeking the face of God and doing the will of God. And so he prayed to overcome that. We all need encouragement, and but a lot of times we don't understand that the devil uses flattery and congratulations against us. He tries it. He tries to get us to take the glory away from God and realizing it was all God, and we start thinking that we're something special. And then we're in trouble. And whenever Jesus had to make a decision about what he was going to do, he prayed. You go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So here he was. He was going to pick out his 12 apostles. He was going to choose them. He had a decision to make. He had 12 decisions to make. What did he do? He prayed all night. When you've got a decision to make, you should pray. You should pray. You might want to pray all night. Amen. And we make important decisions all the time. We have to make decisions for our home. We have to make decisions at work. We have to make decisions for our marriage. We have to make decisions for our finances. You know how the best way to make decisions is? Pray. Pray. You can only make the right decisions if you spend enough time alone with God in prayer. He will help you make the right decision. Amen, amen, amen. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. It says, spend in time worrying about it in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And so instead of sitting around worrying about it, you need to pray. Now, you believe that if you don't do what the Word of God tells you to do, that you're sinning? So this says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be full of care for anything. So instead of worrying, it tells us that we're supposed to pray. So if we sit around and worry, we're sinning. And if we don't pray, we're sinning. Hello? We need to pray and not worry. We need to pray and let everything, notice it says in everything, in everything, in everything, in everything that you've got, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And there's a lot of times when, maybe it's just me, but there's a lot of situations and you have to deal with where you don't have a clue. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do. But God does. And all you got to do is pray. And even Jesus prayed for his disciples that they would receive spiritual understanding. Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 17. And this is the fourth thing that Luke tells us about Jesus praying. He's being an example. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. So this is just after he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And came to pass as he was alone praying. So what did Jesus do right after he fed the 5,000? He prayed. He was alone praying. His disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say people that I am?" They answered, said, "John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and some others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And so actually what Jesus was praying for is that his disciples would know who he was. That's what he was really praying for. And that's why he asked them the question, "Who do you say I am?" And he wanted them to know who he was, and he prayed that they would understand. They didn't always understand everything very quickly. They asked a lot of questions. And so he prayed for them. He spent time praying for them that they might see the truth. And the Apostle Paul prayed for his converts that they might have a revelation. You go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, whom believe according to the working of his mighty power." And so Paul prayed for those converts that he had, that God would give them spiritual revelation. It just might be that we need to pray more for the new converts that we have coming in the church, that they would become spiritually enlightened. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." He's praying for the church of Colossae. He's praying. He said, "I'm not stopping praying for you. I'm continually praying for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And so that's what he prayed for them. Amen. We need to pray that for others. We need to pray that for our souls that we're winning to God, and not cease to pray for them. And in the thing that we need to understand is that naturally, with the natural mind, doesn't matter how smart you are, with the natural mind, you cannot understand the things of God. It's only through revelation of the Spirit that you come to understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. A lot of times we struggle. We don't understand why people don't see it. They don't get it. The natural mind can't get it. The only way you can get it, it's spiritually understood. It's spiritually discerned. How does that take place? You pray for them. Pray that they get a revelation. Pray that they'd understand. Amen, amen, amen. And it makes a difference. What a difference it would make if we prayed more earnestly for others before church. If we prayed more earnestly for others every day. If we prayed more earnestly for them before we taught them a Bible study. What a difference it makes in their life. The 119th Psalm, then, verse 18, the psalmist prayed, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Might be a good idea for you to pray that for yourself. Open my eyes. I want to see what I haven't seen yet. I want to understand what I haven't understood yet. I want to know things that I don't know yet. Open thou my eyes. Open thou my eyes. And talking about Jesus in the book of Luke, Jesus prayed and he was transfigured. You go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. It came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. He took them and he went up there to pray. Do you ever specifically go somewhere to pray? See, apparently Jesus thought prayer was essential. Jesus thought prayer was important. Jesus was trying to be an example. He was teaching his disciples to pray, and he was trying to get us to see the importance of prayer and the things that happen. And so they go up into the mountain to pray, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. As he prayed, he changed. He began to shine as he prayed. And as you pray, you can go places that you never knew you'd go. And you can have experiences that you never realized you could experience. And you'll see things that you never thought you would see as he prayed. And you know, the fact is that your countenance changes when you pray. Your attitude changes when you pray. It makes a difference when we pray. Things happen to us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass, talking about a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so when we pray, people begin to see Jesus in us. When we pray, we begin to reflect Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. There's a lot of troubled faces in the world today. And the greatest witness that you can have is by living in the midst of all those troubled people with a face that's not troubled, but is transfigured. It's changed by the glory of God. Happened to Moses. Go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with these two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. He had spent so much time with Jesus. He had spent so much time with God that his face shone with the glory of God. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in how much time you spend with him. It makes a difference. And you go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 15, and Stephen has been is being judged because he is living for God, and they've got him standing before the council, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. There he was. And they're going to sentence him to death. They're going to take him out and stone him. And he knows what they're doing. And he knows where they're going. And he knows what's going on. And he's in the presence of God. And the glory of God is shining through him. And even those that were wanting to condemn him saw the glory in Stephen. You go back to the 34th chapter of Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You got problems, you got troubles, you got trials, you got difficulties going on. There's a solution. Pray. There's a solution. Cry unto God. The Lord will hear you. The Lord will save you out of all your troubles. Cry unto God. Seek the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You got fear? There's something you're worried about? Pray. Seek the face of God. Cry unto the Lord. He will deliver you. And Jesus was our example. And when Jesus prayed, it drew other people to him. Maybe the reason that you're not winning more souls is because you're not praying enough. You go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus was alone praying, and they watched him pray, and then they asked him to teach them to pray. And you've probably run into some Christians that prayed more. And what a difference. What a difference it made in their life. And you want to learn the power of prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's the question. Is your life encouraging other people to pray? Is your example in prayer encouraging other people to pray? Do you have a regular prayer time? Do you come to church prayer meetings? Are you being an example to others? Are you careless? Are you lazy? Does prayer mean much to you, or does it mean little? Or maybe, like to some, it means nothing. How do you know it means nothing? Because they never pray. So it must mean nothing because they never pray. If it meant anything, they'd do it. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 40. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise up and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And so it was in that place of prayer that Jesus surrendered himself to the Lord's will. He surrendered himself. He said, not my will, thine be done. It's in that place of prayer. It's in that place of prayer where you totally surrender to God. It's in that place of prayer. It's in that place of prayer. Amen, 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 where you get God's purpose in your life, where you give yourself totally to the service of God and to doing what God wants you to do. You go back to Acts chapter 21. And the 13th verse. And Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease, saying, the will of the Lord be done. See, the prophet came along and told him, Paul's going to be persecuted when he goes there. Paul's going to be killed when he goes there. And they were telling him, don't go there, Paul. Don't go there, Paul. Don't go there. And Paul said, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Why are you breaking my heart? He said, I'm not only ready to be bound, I'm ready to die. How did you get there, Paul? He prayed. Just like Jesus did, he followed Jesus' example. He prayed, not my will, thine be done. Amen, 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 amen. Prayer makes a big difference. Are you totally surrendered to doing the will of God? Are you totally surrendered to God's will, not your will, but God's will? Is it all about doing what God wants you to do and fulfilling what God wants you to do? Did you do the will of God today? Did you do the will of God today? Are your plans to do the will of God tomorrow? What is the will of God for you tomorrow? What does God want you to do? And we need to pray. We need to go to that place of prayer until we find that place where we're totally surrendered to the will of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's just stand up and begin to worship God here. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. God of heaven, oh God, take us to those places that we've never been, Jesus. Let us pray more than we've ever prayed, God. Let us get closer to you. Let us have more power, Lord God. Let us have that experience, Jesus. Let us see those things that we've never seen before. God, let your glory shine out of us. Let your glory be in us. God of heaven, take us those places. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to seek your face, oh God. Take us to that depth of prayer, Jesus. Take us, Lord God, where we need to go in you, Lord Jesus. I just pray it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll go ahead and give you an opportunity to spend some time in prayer here tonight. Maybe make a commitment. Maybe make a promise. God, I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed before. Oh, let's seek the face of God like we've never sought Him before. Let's cry out to God with our whole heart. You might even want to pray for your brothers and sisters that they'd have a deeper prayer life, a greater prayer life. God bless you.